that sometimes I have actually walked out of the church with it still in my ear and had to come back in. And anyway, so thanks for saving me, but I didn't say anything ugly. And we were just talking about food. In the First Samuel, all the way over in the Old Testament, we go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Now, we're going to read this in a moment. Let me give you a little preview. I brought a message on this that God gave me just not long ago. And it was on this thing about when you want what you want. And Israel, in the midst of all the blessings of God, they looked around and looked at the other nations around them, and they said, they all have kings. So God, we want a king. And they really grieved the Lord. God said, I'm your king, but you want a man king. Yeah, we want a physical king. All these other nations have kings. So we want one. Does that sound familiar, by the way? This message is not a repeat of that message. This is a continuation and just never was able to get back to because of other messages the Lord kept giving me. But does this sound familiar today? We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like them and look like them. And we can't do that. We're the chosen ones. We're the called out ones. We can't be like them, like this other nation and that nation and this nation over here. We've got to be the people of God that God's called us to be. And the Israelites were called to be God's special people. And he said, I don't want you to be like the Philistines and the Moabites and all these people around you. I've made you separate, totally separate. And I don't want you to dress like them, look like them, and I don't want you to eat like them, and I sure don't want you to worship like them because they worship false gods and they throw their children, you know, into fires and stuff and sacrifice their children. And yet the people of Israel said, we want a king. We want to be like them. And as you know from that, God said, okay. He's a loving God. Now they're listening here. Don't have time to really work on, point out. You know, there's times you can press God long enough and he'll say, okay. But it won't be what you want. This used to be referred to as God's permissive will versus his perfect will. When God will permit you to do something, but it's not his perfect will. And he did that here. This was not his perfect will. They did it. And so that's that. That was in that other message. And so you can go back and listen to it if you want to. I hope you will. But where we want to pick up today, and I never got finished this other part of this. God said, you're not going to like what's going to happen, and I'm going to show you that I'm displeased. I love you, and I'll never leave you, forsake you, but I'm displeased with you. And we forget that aspect of God today. Christianity has kind of gotten hung up on just this loving, tender, fluffy God, bunny rabbit God. And he's just always soft and gentle. And comforts me at night when I want to go to sleep. And we forget that there's a God who says, those whom I love, I do what? I discipline. I don't do it because I'm mean. I do it because you need it. And in this case, he said, through Samuel, now therefore, and this is verse 16, so I'll just read this real quick, and then we'll get into our passage today. But you need to know what's led up to all this. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. He said, is today not the wheat harvest? So this is the day you go out and gather wheat from the fields to last you another year, right? I will call to the Lord and he'll send thunder and rain that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord and asking a king for yourselves. Do you see what happened? It's time to harvest the wheat, and God sends thunder and rain, and what's it going to do to the wheat? Wash it down and mold it. They'll not have a wheat crop. Yes, God loves us, but there are times that God has to do what God has to do to get our attention as his children, to keep us from going way off the line, way out there and somewhere out of fellowship with him. Don't forget that. He is a loving God, but out of love, he gives us discipline. And so this was huge discipline. I mean, these people are going to hurt before the next harvest, the next year. But that's what they had to suffer because they asked for a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and he sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord. And Samuel, they thought it was going to get worse than this. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die." They're saying, "Hey, heck with the wheat harvest. We just want to live through this. We're scared now because we've done an awful thing. We've been traitors to the Lord. We've added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves." Now we come to this part. But now you know, but you have the background in mind. And then begin verse 20. "Then Samuel said to the people, 'Do not fear.'" This is why you need a pastor. This is why you need a prophet. This is why God calls people to do this job. I wish more of them were telling the truth and not trying to please people or get rich from it. Because this is what they're here to do. And we're here to give you God's truth, but to comfort you when things are not good. And Samuel, he says to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn away. Do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." He said, "And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing." But look at this great line, underlined it in red for myself. "For the Lord will not forsake his people." Now you keep that in mind, no matter what happens, whatever kind of things go wrong in your life, whatever goofs up, stuff that hurt you, and you get misused or you get abused or things just hurt your feelings so bad you can't stand it, whatever it is, just remember, the Lord will not forsake his people, no matter what. That's you. That's me. We may really blow it, but he won't forsake us. Yes, and in a spiritual sense, we may have our wheat harvest messed up, but he won't kill us for it, and he'll not forsake us. "The Lord will not do it, forsake his people for his name, great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people," and that stands today. We are grafted into that vine through our faith in Jesus Christ. We're the wild olive branch that's been grafted on to the tree of Israel. And we stand with that torch of salvation. We're the light to the world. Israel was supposed to be, but they rejected Christ and killed him. And Jesus brought the word to the Gentiles, you and me, and we now became the standard bearer of the light to the world, it says in Scripture, until the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, and then salvation will return to the Jews. So just know that's going to happen. And what I'm seeing all around us, and looking, this is not one of those prophecy messages, but seeing what's all around us, what's happening in this world, in our society, in our government, in our churches, it looks like it's rapidly approaching that place. I hope that we can have an interlude, if you want to call it that, of salvation. That we can have an experience, a period of salvation and peace. I truly do. And I believe it's possible. But I think the end is rolling towards us. And we're moving towards it more rapidly than we realize. So it says, "The Lord won't forsake us for his name's sake. He's pleased the Lord to make you his people. And moreover, as for me," this is Samuel speaking, that's the title of the message, "far be it from me," this is what he said, "as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." I hope you'll make at least mental notes of this message today and let it be embedded in your mind and in your heart. "Far be it from me, far be it from me that I should cease to pray for you, no matter what you say or do." And I just added some elements in here, these points that we need to have. Far be it from me that I should ever give up on you, that you should ever give up on anyone. But he says, far be it from me as your prophet that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you. But he said, I will teach you the good and the right way. Now here's the people who have just totally grieved the Lord, basically rejected him for a human king. And yet here's God's prophet speaking God's words to these people. Far be it from me that I should cease to pray for you. Thou sin against the Lord, must cease to pray for you. And he said, not only that, but I will teach you the good and the right way. I don't understand God a lot most of the time. I don't know how he does it. And you can say, well, he's God. He has to be. Because how many of us could just keep putting up with this? If you walk into your home and your partner says, you know, I love you, I like you, but you know what? There's another man I think's better and stronger and greater, and I want to be like everybody else, so I want his picture up on the wall. I want to speak his name here, but I want you to tolerate it. That's what they're saying to God. How would you feel in your own home to see the picture of somebody else up there on the wall? Now, I want to stay with you, but I want to be reminded of them because I want to be like everybody else around me who does these things. That's what they were doing. God will pray to you when it's necessary, but we want a picture of our king like we have the presidents and all these offices and say, I want a picture of our king up there instead. I want to look at our physical king. I want to look at a picture of Saul instead of you. Wow. And yet with all that going on, he speaks to his prophet Samuel and says, I'm going to pray for you. None of that. I'm going to teach you the good and the right way. He said, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he's done for you. Now the last verse there, if you want to read it, this is what we have for today. He said, but if you still do wickedly, you will be swept away, both you and your king. And he warns them, but he's saying, you know, after all you've done to dishonor God and you're committing spiritual adultery, we're going to have a message on that spiritual adultery coming up. That there's more kinds of adultery than what we're used to. That we can commit spiritual adultery, and I'll show you the passages in Scripture where it calls it that. Where God says, you've committed adultery against me because you've worshipped other gods. He calls that adultery. And you may know where that is. If you don't, you'll find out. And that'll be coming up soon. We have some other messages. I have one on wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove coming up and working on. So those are previews. But right now, let's look at this. Far be it from me. So there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that must be far from us, friends. A lot of things you need to put far from you. Last week we talked about, you know, being clean and separate yourself and come out from among them. Get away from it. Don't ride along with the rest of the world. Don't accept everybody else's standards. You must, you know, it's got to be, because if you do that, you're accepting another king over your life. And God is our only king. He's our only Lord. So never forget these words. The hand of the Lord is against those who do evil. And God says in Romans, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. He said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, thus saith the Lord. Don't forget it. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. When you're hurt, when you're abused, when you see things happening, just cry out to God and say, God, you've promised in your word, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. The hand of the Lord is against those who do evil. So we're turning it over to you, God. That's what you've got to do instead of getting all upset all the time. They suffered that day when God destroyed their wheat harvest. But at the same time, they were spared. Because they were and still are the chosen people of God. Now we are for a period of time. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, Peter says. So let's look at this first point. Far be it from me that what? That I forget the blessing of our faithful God. I just abbreviated these. But the blessing of our faithful God. And what does that mean? If you read over in these passages, and I pulled these out of these other passages, what does he say? He said, I raised up. He said, don't forget what I've done for you. I raised up Moses and Aaron. I brought your fathers from the land of Egypt. What was he saying? He said, how could you ask for another king when I sent you, raised up Moses and Aaron, and I sent them to free you from 400 years of bondage in Egypt. And they led you out, and I parted the Red Sea for you. And he said, I fed you in the wilderness. But you read this in here. He's just talking to all these people. Look what I've done for you. And if this is in chapter 12. It's just before we get to where we are today. And he talks about, you know, I raised these people up for you. I sent you all these people, and Gideon and Jephthah and Samuel. You can read this in the first part of chapter 12. This is when they wanted another king. And God has said, friends, listen, it needs to be far from us that we forget what God has done for us. And things are happening to you now. Don't forget what God's done for you in the past. Don't forget how he's put up with you. And a lot of times when we're mad at other people, and we're, oh, I'm so mad at that senator, I'm so mad at that congressperson, I'm so mad at the president. And God is saying, and I have every right to be mad at you. The things that you are griping about with all these people, have you been guilty of that in your life also? Is there any spiritual adultery or physical adultery? Is there any lying? Is there any deceiving? Is there any covering up? Is there any maliciousness? Is there anything? Have you been this? Have this been your life? It's not meaning that we just let people off the hook. But friends, before we get too caught up in raising the axe to chop the head off of another person, we need to see how close it is to our own. And as he was reminding Israel, I raised up Aaron and Moses and Aaron. I brought you across the Red Sea. Just remember what I've done for you. And I look at my own life and look at your life for a minute and say, yeah, that's right. And you parted the Red Sea for me, didn't you? He's parted the Red Sea in a spiritual sense for every one of us and brought us across on dry land. When we thought we couldn't swim any longer, we had no strength left. We didn't have any mental endurance. We had no physical endurance. We just couldn't do this. We had no money. It's not going to happen. And what happened? God parted the sea and you came across. It happened. It happened. Don't forget the things God's done for you. And in your weakest trial, in your most suffering moments, in your moments of the worst doubt of your life, then let God remind you what he's done for you, and he'll do it again. And again, and again, and again. And you never know, but you'll be walking along. Where is that you found? Let me see. Can I see it a minute? He found a shell. Little seashell in Crystal Beach, showing it to me a while ago. He's just walking along and found a shell. And this is the way it happens in life. You're going to be our illustration for today. Inside this little shell that he found, it says Jesus loves you, and it's lying on the beach. Thank you. Just walking along. And friends, that's the way God comes through. You're wrapped up in your life and you're just out there and you're just walking along. For most of us, we're stalking along. And all of a sudden, in that quiet, still moment, we find God's little seashell inside that says, Jesus loves you. Isn't that amazing? You just found it. But I really think it found you. God put it there for you. It drew you. God draws us that way. And He reminds us, I love you. And you may have wanted another king. You may have watched something you shouldn't watch. You may have said things you shouldn't have said. And you've done things you shouldn't have done. But I love you. Jesus loves you. And I send you deliverers. I send angels to protect you. He sent Aaron and Moses back then. Today He sends angels. Today He gives us the filling of His Holy Spirit. He said, I've sent you all these people, Isaac and Jacob. I've sent you Gideon. You just read all this in here, the things that God says, I've done all this for you. No physical king would ever do this for you. And He said, then you worshiped their idols and you repented. And I sent Gideon and Jephthah and Samuel and I saved you through them. I forgave you through them. Far be it from me that I should ever forget the blessings of our faithful God. And that He's still here and He's still doing. And friends, this very day, our faithful God is delivering us from destruction. He is keeping us safe. Call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things you do not know. You ever ask God, can I just see in some semblance, just have a little taste of the glory of your presence? Hide me in the cleft of the rock so I can just see you, your glory pass by. You ever ask Him that? To let you just experience, no man can see God, no woman, nobody can see God and live, but you can have Him pass by in His glory. Wouldn't you like for that to happen? Have you ever asked Him? Can I experience you, God, in that way? Far be it from me that I should cease to pray for you. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Friends, listen. Here was Samuel making this statement because he was the prophet of God. I have no right, and neither does any other pastor on this planet ever have the right to say, God, I'm not going to pray for these people or that person or this anymore. That is part of our calling. It's part of our commission. It's part of what we're here to do. And it may be that the people we don't want to pray for are so mean to us, rude to us. They may think we're crazy and need to see a psychiatrist. But in our hearts, God speaks these words the same as then. You know, far be it from me that I should sin against you by ceasing to pray for you. And let me ask you something. Who are you not praying for today that you should be praying for? And I'll tell you, one of the number one people. Thank you. He pointed at me. I appreciate that. You need to pray for me every day. I'm hit. I'm assaulted. Weird things happen, and there's more than what I was sharing with you earlier that said. There's all kinds of things. And sometimes it's overwhelming. And there are times I walk in and I slam the door, and I'm not supposed to say close it, but that's not the truth. I slam it, and I'm thinking, I can't do this anymore. I just can't keep this up. And then God's strengthening spirit comes. But friends, and you need to pray for the leadership of this nation. I know you want them out. I know you want this and that and for leadership in Congress and the Senate. But You must pray for their salvation. You must pray for God to come through in their lives. We have a responsibility. You have the same responsibility I have. Far be it from us that we should cease to pray, and especially pray for the people that hurt us the most. They're not going to change except through prayer. And the ones that are sticking you and stabbing you and griping at you and calling you every name in the book, they're the ones that need your prayers, and God puts us right on the block, doesn't He? And He asks us this question. If my son Jesus were standing there, what would He do? And therefore, that's what I must do. Far be it from me that I should sin against God by ceasing to pray for you. Pray. We're to pray for those who sin against the Lord and sin against us. We're to pray for people we don't like. I know you're saying, oh, yuck. We've got to pray for them when they don't care, when people are unloving, when they're rebellious, when they're unkind, when they're unloving. And friends, here's a tough one. We've got to pray for people when they're unfaithful. When they are unfaithful to us, either physically, unfaithful in marriage, unfaithful as Christians, when they give us their word and they don't fulfill it, we have to pray for them. Far be it from me. Far be it from me. That's for all of us, that we should cease to pray. And He said, you know, far be it from me that I should cease to pray for you. Do you not realize, have you thought about this, that with them accepting a king, Samuel's position of leadership is now, he's losing his position as the spiritual leader, because now the king will be the leader and Samuel will be the advisor. He'll still be a prophet in a much lesser role, and yet he's not complaining. He's not said one word, but by virtue of these people now getting a physical king, his role is diminished. How many of us in here could have that happen and get demoted like that and say, far be it from me that I should sin against God by ceasing to pray for you? I can't even understand the guy. But he sure had the Lord in his heart. And that's what people need to be saying about you and me. I can't understand that woman. I can't understand that guy. How can they be like that, the way they've been treated? How can they keep loving people? How can they keep walking out here with a smile on their face? How can they pray for me the way I've treated them? You know how. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you give it to Him every day of your life, and you say, here's my body, a living sacrifice. Live in me, Lord. Flow through me, Lord. And the devil will test you and he'll torment you. But God's strength in you is greater. Greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. And these unloving, rebellious, unkind, unfaithful folks around your life, and usually it'll be people you never expect it from that'll do these things. Far be it from me that I should cease to pray. Whew. We'll close with this next one. Oh, far be it from me, you know, that I should ever cease to fear and serve the Lord. He said, I'll teach you the good and the right way, only fear the Lord and serve Him. We'll add that in there in this point, that teach the good and right way. Do you know what that is? You know what the good and right way is? It's that narrow path Jesus talks about. It's narrow and it's hard to get on. He said, few find it. That's the right way. We are all teachers of the Word of God by our lifestyle, by what we say, and often by what we don't say. We're not only to pray, But we're to teach by word and by lifestyle the good and the right way, and that's Jesus and everything he said in his word. We're not perfect, but we're to strive to do it anyway. The good and the right way, that's all there is, and people need it. And then we have to fear and serve the Lord, and that's what he said. He said, only fear the Lord and serve him. Have you ever asked yourself, we've read this how many times? I say we, you, myself. Well, how many times have you read it says, fear the Lord? You ever ask God, what does that mean? What does it mean to fear you, Lord? I mean, is it like the people at Mount Sinai? When they feared, I mean, even an animal touched the mount when God was giving the Ten Commandments. He was up on the mountain and the thunder and the lightning and all, and the people cowered down in fear. And he said, if even an animal touches this mountain, it'll die. I'll kill anyone who touches it, so holy. And only Moses could go up. Is it that kind of fear? The fear to even touch? The fear to even take a breath? God might strike you down? Is that what he's talking about? It was then. But the way God wants us to fear him is this, and mark this down. To fear the Lord means that I have a reverence for God. I'm in awe of his power. I respect him. I respect him too much to dishonor him. You say it's not the kind of fear at Mount Sinai? Those people there were afraid to touch the mountain because they'd be killed. And now God is saying, come and receive Jesus and touch me, hold me, grab me, touch my cloak. God is going a different route this time. He's not saying stand back for fear of dying. He's saying, come and get life. Don't fear to touch me now. Touch me through faith in Jesus Christ. Come on, touch me. Let me touch you. Let me fill you with my presence. So it's not that kind of fear. What is it? It's that awe-inspiring respect, honor of the living God who's given it all and deserved nothing less than my all. That's what it is. Fear the Lord. When you sin, is your heart broken? Do you just want to fall down before him? And you should, and I should, we all should, and say, God, I'm so sorry I did that. I said that. That was not honoring to you. That's not holy. That's not glorifying your name. God, when I fear God, I acknowledge your holiness, Lord, when I fear you. You're holy. You're almighty, you're pure. I reverence you, Lord. I respect you and give you honor. How do I serve him? You know how we serve him. He said, love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. He said, there's one other way I want you to serve me. It's connected. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. I want you to serve me by loving me and loving my people, and that means you take my word to them and you live it the best you can. You ask forgiveness when you fail. And then you stand up straight and let people see that I'm a loving, forgiving, restoring God. And I want you to say to all the world, by grace, I am saved. Through faith. Not of myself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. He said, that's how you serve me and bring me honor and glory. And the last thing you do is then come and worship and praise and let the whole world around you know that I am your God and you are my people. Father, we thank you for your word, the power of it. Your amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.